This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast brought to us today. No, it wasn't brought to us. Today's beverages are... Let me start again.
He spilled it like he peed.
He spilled on his little jeans with the right place of the pee.
I can't do this.
Oh, gosh. Today's podcast, today's beverages, what should I say?
I don't know, but you kind of fired.
Just say, I like it. This brought to us by... No, it's not brought to us.
Today's refreshments have been brought to us by Thrive Brew.
They're not sponsoring us at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. I can't say sponsored.
We just like to drink Thrive Brew, which is clean, crushable kombucha.
The truth
that's really
is, we're in our
sugar.
Second party on the same day, and we still have our drinks.
Hey, so, okay, that one's good too, the butterfly. I have a question, though. I brought a product.
Yeah.
I want you to check out. I've been loving it. They have not sponsored any of this, but it's Everyday Dose. Okay, this is...
That's the brand, Everyday Dose.
It's called Everyday Dose. It's a mushroom matcha.
Yum.
It's got mushrooms, collagen protein, nootropics.
Yeah, like...
Does it have sugar in it, Dan? That's the main question.
Cane sugar.
0 grams of sugar.
Okay, what have they sweetened it with? Or do you just sweeten it
yourself? I don't think it's sweetened.
Pass it over here.
Yeah,
throw it over.
Now we're intrigued.
I want to ask you... I'm about to burp this whole podcast.
Carbonated.
I want to ask you about... amino acids, because I don't know anything about them, but I think they're...
Oh, we love talking amino acids.
Here it comes. Don't worry.
May I look for Serene Pops?
Get it together.
Okay. So they've put amino acids in here jolly well. Lutein, they've put tiny amounts. So it's just tiny amounts, but you got a nice... I don't know why they put the amino acids in. Just
is
for
it
a
enough to matter?
They
pick me up.
Put it in for gut and nootropics.
But is it enough?
So certain amino acids are great for the gut.
Okay,
like
so
glutamine.
It is definitely not enough for any muscle synthesis, because you need 2,200 at minimum for muscle synthesis of lutein, and you have 116
is it
milligrams.
Good for anything?
But yeah, it's good for anything.
See, they've added L-theanine, Pearl, which is a relaxer, and that's
it's brain enhancement.
Yes.
I think they put the essential amino acids just because they're putting in L-theanine and things like that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's good for what it is. Can you look at the ingredients? Is there anything you wouldn't recommend in there?
No, Pearl. This is very interesting. It's well, the mushroom and nootropics blend is the ceremonial grade matcha, which is brilliant. It's got the EGCG, which is so high in anti-inflammatory substances. EGCG is incredible for fighting cancer, for fighting any disease.
Long haul COVID
extract.
Too.
Oh yeah, long haul COVID. L-theanine, that's going to be relaxing. Now the matcha already has natural amounts of L-theanine, so they're really...
L-theanine is not just a relaxer, though. It's a focus relaxer.
Right.
So you can become focused at what you're doing and alert, but not in an anxious way that coffee gets to some people. Not me. I love my coffee.
Now,
but Serene and you.
It has the organic chaga fruiting body, the fruiting body of the chaga, the double extracted, so it's a very potent extract, and the organic lion's mane fruiting body extract, again... It has greater than 15% beta-glutens, so it's very good for the immune system.
Wow, this is very good.
But does it have enough of all these things?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. Now, not for a protein, but
it doesn't have to be a protein.
No, we saw those amino acids and we thought.
This replaces...
So this will elevate mood. It will give you concentration without the crash.
Yeah.
It will fight inflammation, and it will boost energy because it has that nice little bit of caffeine balanced with the L-theanine. I don't see... that it has any other ingredients. I don't see that it has any other so let me
is
see
it
if it's sweet.
Sweetness?
Like I really like to make a latte out of this. Ooh, it's nice and lime green. Where'd you get this thing?
Yeah. Order it from their website.
She just put her saliva
can I get
in
on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sure. No,
she just did put a little saliva
you
finger
just use
in
a new
there.
Oh,
finger.
I love it.
You dig?
I dig. I'm going to buy some of that because I'm a matcha freak because coffee can make me psychopathic.
So I got it as a green. I wasn't loving my green tea choices at my grocery store. And I got it as a replacement, but I believe in mushrooms. I believe in all of
them. Oh, I'll be purchasing some of that.
Nice.
Okay.
Hey,
wash it down with my Thrive Brew kombucha.
Yeah.
You, so do you
properly
add a
fermented?
Little stevia to this?
I'll tell you what I add, Pearl. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
I add not only Trim Healthy Mama stevia, which is the best in the world.
That's good.
Sourced from the purest mountains of China.
Right.
But I also add ashwagandha. I take a serving of two pills, and I open the pills, and I pour the powder in.
Oh, into this.
Into that.
Uh-huh.
Ashwagandha stevia. And then sometimes, not all the time, I'll just some heavy cream.
So do you find that ashwagandha has a strong taste or no? Does it kind of, because this is strong, it just melds
That's strong enough, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. It better be nice and expensive, because if it's not, it's probably not good.
It's nice and expensive.
What, like 60 well, bucks?
It's 40 bucks.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad for
that's
much.
Not bad. That's not bad.
For what
Actually,
you're getting to.
It's pretty cheap. So I'm wondering if it's really great now.
Does say ceremonial.
Because much ceremonial matcha.
Mushrooms are expensive too.
Yeah, normally a good ceremonial matcha is
But it
60
is organic, so I'd
like
to try this too, because I feel like the mushrooms are rounding out the matcha taste when I tasted that on my finger.
Yeah.
I felt like the two were a better combination than the one.
Hey, they're not even paying us for anything. They're not even a THN family like Thrive Brew, so let's get on with it.
Oh, well, but
and
they
I'll tell
might
you,
be.
The other thing I got it for is ADHD focus.
Oh, yeah. And has it helped?
I feel like, I mean, placebo is so real.
Oh,
you know,
it's so real.
Since I've started drinking it, I've also started doing push-ups. I also add ashwagandha.
Yeah, but hey, maybe it's giving you the motivation and the focus to do that sort of thing.
I think so. And I also, I've been this for a while. I take GABA at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I've been really focused on trying to, like, you know, fix symptoms classified as ADHD and lower anxiety.
And the GABA, just for new peeps in the room, because we want to be educational, tell everybody why you take GABA in the evening. What does it do for you?
Yeah, so it is a calming thing. I can tend, as the day goes on, to get more and more anxious.
Mm.
I start stacking anxiety one upon the next. In the morning, I'm very fresh, ready to take the day. I'd say when it's time to come home and stop working, stop paying bills, you know what I'm saying? Stop making sure that I've done all I can do to move this family forward. I think the anxiety really starts to spike. And I'm sort of predisposed, family history, if we believe in
no,
that.
You're
so.
Not.
No, I'm not predisposed at all.
Because you don't have to wear it. But hey, you are challenged with
I
it,
love
but you're
how
overcoming
you don't believe
with
in
it.
Anxiety. I'm just telling you not to believe in it.
No, here's the thing. I
know people can get anxious thoughts, because we're human. We can get anxious thoughts, but what we believe in, we...
Well, and things I do really believe
power to.
In the environmental aspect of anxiety. In other words, what are the variables happening in your life that you're not approaching correctly? Like, I'm not sitting here like, I have anxiety.
Good.
As if
like, I was going to punch you.
Yeah, as if, like, I have big eyes. Now, that's a fact.
Yeah.
But I don't have anxiety. My body contends.
I just find it hard when people say my anxiety. I've heard that a couple of times lately.
Yeah, but that's you got to be careful the way you say that, because a lot of people haven't been educated that it's not their anxiety.
No, I can say
we
I'll
can't
punch Danny
them.
And not no and not I wouldn't I don't feel the need to punch anybody else.
Just me.
Just
Danny's written What If You Could books.
Yeah,
girl.
Okay. So that's Danny just, that deserves a punch.
Danny is a leading thinker on positivity. And so he's
in
just
the world.
It was just like, you're beyond this, Dan. No, I just want to give other people a hug.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. We don't always, like, I believe in overcoming and healing and things like that. But I'm also comfortable with little dragons that appear, that come back, and that need re-slaying.
No, I agree with re-slaying. I'm not saying that you don't have anxious
challenges
to defeat. I just don't like the subject called a disease for you.
No, that's kind of my point.
You know, because anxiety to me has this feeling of a label that means that you're going to be dealing with it for your life, and because.
But it's okay to wake up in the morning. I feel like you can get to the point where you've slayed things.
Oh yeah.
But it's okay to be in a battle and to embrace the battle and have peace in the battle.
100%
like
agree.
For me, you know, I'm walking out of things that. People could say, well, that's depression, Pearl, but I call it gloomy thoughts.
Yeah.
I have a battle with those. But I don't call myself depressed, or I suffer with depression. I battle those gloomy thoughts, and I do it like Dan, with so many things, with positive thoughts, with putting on the good, with supplements, with all the things I can do.
Can I climb out of my hole?
Yeah.
You're not in a hole, girl. This is your party.
Listen, when I want to punch Dan, it's that
look, you feel
was
bad
a very
now.
Cute brotherly saying
it
to
was
him.
Received as such.
I would never really punch Dan.
I know,
you
but I did. I was just getting a little bit feisty with him, like, Dan, slay those dragons. Get up and be the soldier every day against ADD and anxiety. Yes. And you're never so strong than the day you have to fight it the most. I'm all about that.
So true.
And Dan, you're a human, and those dragons are going to come to the humans while we're here on this earth. But I just wanted to tell him that it's not
I know,
a disease
it's so true. And then when you explain yourself, it's so good. I'm always constantly aware of how our listeners perceive things.
Yes.
And sometimes I love you for what you are, and you just say it like it is. And sometimes it needs a little bit of context,
it
which I'll
does.
Bring out.
Thank you for thank you for putting me in the best light.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say, yes, I am.
Because I know your light. Dan knows your light.
Pubescent show host. Pre-pubescent show host. And that my immaturity will leap ahead of my wise thoughts.
But you got to slay that prepubescence, or you want to keep it around.
See,
no,
it comes
I'm keeping
back.
It around for these
it
people.
It comes back
hey,
like dragons.
Hey, when I walk out this door, I have nothing of prepubescence at all, because it's only it. my persona for here, apparently. Oh, I was given it.
I don't
no,
think
darling,
so. We've
you,
partied
you
together.
You got that persona all day long.
I just want to tell you about this, guys. I never feel as strong as on the day that I get hit the hardest with things I have to slay. I feel like that, like I've talked here before in a podcast, that war horse in Job, where the muscles of the flanks and all of that, where it talks about it, he's snorting for the battle. Like, I don't feel like that I am a defeated person because I have to deal with junk on days. Mm-hmm. I feel like the days I have to deal with the most junk, that I've never looked so strong. So don't think that I'm looking down my nose like I don't deal with stuff. Mm-hmm. I definitely deal with stuff, and I'm excited about dealing with stuff. I'm excited about getting up every day and dealing with it. Like dealing with it, meaning slaying them. But I just, so I'm all about you, Danny, getting all your gabber and getting all of that stuff and putting your brain in the right space. I just think it's the way we look at it. I don't ever want to look at it. It's like it's my label defeating me and putting the box over me. And
for
I
sure.
know you don't.
Yeah.
But speaking of GABA though, you know, you're taking it in. But with woman, we get GABA at night with progesterone as we make it, but then we stop making it. Especially in perimenopause, yeah. It declines. And then in post-E, we're making none. So taking in bioidentical progesterone is the GABA initiator. So that's why when women take, like I take my oral progesterone right before bed, it puts you in a GABA state. And that's
really?
Why women who take oral progesterone sleep so deeply. It's the beautiful sleep.
Like beforehand, before I started taking bioidentical progesterone, every screech from the children, like playing roughhouse and, you know, get out of my room stuff. Yeah. It was annoying. But after taking progesterone, it was just like violins. It was just like lovely household noise.
It was put into perspective of the long game of the beauty of life and the oxen dirtying the
dishes,
stall.
The dishes all piled up in the sink was just not a bad sight.
Have you gals done research on how CBD affects GABA and... You know, because obviously it can be very calming and put people into deep sleep.
Right, CBD
and
is.
And by CBD, I mean all the marijuana.
Well, you mean
I just say CBD
you mean the therapeutic stuff.
I just mean everything that grows on the earth.
Well, yeah, I would. Well, a lot of it is really processed now to be more THC to give the high, and that's really not going
to
do the therapeutic.
I think that's,
and that's not what
much.
God made. Yeah.
No, the
I haven't looked into it for the GABA, but it certainly must be because you know the CBD enhances sleep. It enhances calm. That's why we've got that product, Chillax.
I just wonder because GABA is, what is GABA? I take
well,
it.
Well, GABA
is
the calming neurotransmitter.
It's a neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like serotonin, dopamine. Yeah.
So when you're saying that the progesterone you take before bed increases GABA in your, that's already in your
brain.
I
could look it up now. CBD GABA pathway.
Well, while she looks it up, can I bring like a topic for us to discuss
today? It's your podcast.
I don't have this meat ready to serve anybody. I was just thinking about this on my walk a few months ago, and I just wrote it down on my little paper plate that I put ideas on. Pearl and I seem to put ideas on paper plates. Like, we don't have official notebooks and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're just not organized that way.
I don't think you would receive it.
Yeah. So we just grab the nearest.
Moreover, this is
paper.
A study. Sorry, Nature.com. CBD may increase GABAergic transmission by antagonism of the G protein coupled receptor 5, GRP55. So it is GABA increase. Okay, studies show there was an increased GABA in controls, but decreased GABA in ASD, the group difference in chain, blah, blah, blah. Okay,
so, there's
a lot of information to say that it does increase GABA. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Okay, back to you.
Okay, CBD actually, I lied. It wasn't the paper plate I wrote this on. It was actually a vacuum cleaning direction. Remember, I had my little list, remember? Okay. So, yeah. But it's never an organized notebook.
Yeah.
But so I wrote down, appetite ain't bad, girls. I wrote that down. I had this thought on my walk that appetite's not bad.
That's great.
And I started thinking along those lines. And so I looked at my little vacuum cleaning book this morning and I thought, you know, is there any thoughts here I could bring to the potty? And I saw that one I called Pearl. And I'm like, let's talk about this together. So I'm bringing it to you, Dan, today. Let's talk about the fact that appetite is not bad. It's just where you direct it. Because I feel like there's so many people that feel ashamed for their appetite when it comes to food. And we're going to talk about the subject on a whole today, not just about food, just about so many things.
Desire.
Desire. You know, some people think there is almost a something you can get caught up to, a brain space where you feel shameful for having dreams and desires, and especially when it comes to food, thinking about food, thinking about your next meal. People think that it's somehow sinful or that they've got some kind of problem. And I'm here to say that appetite is God-given and desire is God-given. In fact,
say it.
I looked up a little bit about the word desire, and apparently it's desire, Latin word, from the Latin meaning of the Father. It literally translates of the Father. And so interesting.
Of
because,
the Father.
Yes, desire.
There's a
when you think
moment.
About it. It's an intrinsic, deep thing implanted in all humans, desire. And it's not bad. And I was starting to think God has desires. Like he longs for, he yearns for. There's so many scriptures in the Bible where it talks about what God desires. I think having desire is just being part of, because God's a creator, right? And when you create things, you have to have a desire. You have to have a longing for it before you create it. And so we're created in the image of God, and he's implanted us with the same makeup as him. And he's a God of desire. He's put that in us. And so when our desires are of the Father, and I believe all of those have been put inside of all humans.
Didn't you say to me this morning, were you probably going to cover it, sire? What did you say?
Yeah, of the Father, another one. It's kind of the Father, of the sire. You know, yeah. So
desire, sire.
So
we
sire things when we desire, like we bring forth, right? But I think when people start looking at appetite in any way as bad, we become fruitless. We become almost like eunuchs. We become infertile, and we don't bring forth anything in life because our passion has become decapitated. And so
right, the time before someone passes away is usually a time when their appetite goes.
Okay, well, we're talking about food now? Yeah. I mean, let's go there just straight to the food. People think, you know, my appetite's not great. Well, thriving young children, when they're healthy, have an appetite. When their appetite is not so what's the word? Yeah. There's a
robust?
Word. Well, we use the word robust instead. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Vivacious.
Avaricious, I was trying to think. I don't know what the word is. Voracious, that's it. Voracious. When a young child's appetite is not voracious, you think to yourself, you know, are they coming down with something, you know? And your husband, Charlie Pearl, has got a little bit of something he's dealing with right now. And of course, he's getting better. But the first thing you noticed was his appetite was affected. So when we're dealing with stuff, sometimes it's, you know, our appetite goes down. It's not a sign of great health.
No, it's not. People always associate it. Sometimes I feel like in our culture, appetite has been scorned, and there's been a whole contrasting kind of mantra that is like food is only for fuel. Now, we talk about fueling ourselves with food, but food is not just fuel. Food is comfort. Food is pleasure. Food is excitement. Food is joy. Food is creation. Food is... just it's bringing people together. It's conversation.
Food is meditation.
Yes, it's so much more than just fuel, but it is fuel, but it's much more.
And it's like the first food humans ever get, breast milk. it didn't come on a hard tack that they got to suck. They got to squeeze a nice, soft, gushy little plump thing, right?
Yeah,
you know
did.
What I mean? Like, it came with comfort.
I'm glad you see it that way.
You know, it came with comfort.
Look at Arden listening to his mom. He's like, mom,
literally every man
mom.
In the room perked up without any... Yeah. Like, everyone was on their phone, and I just saw every phone drop, and everybody's like, we're listening.
No, but listen. Like, God put that fuel for the baby to thrive on in a very comforting way. And a baby doesn't suck just for nutrition. A baby sucks for comfort. A baby sucks to celebrate life. You know, when it's happy, the baby wants to get on that booby. When it's sad, the baby wants
Me
to get
too.
On the booby. It emotionally eats. A baby is born emotionally
Tú también.
Eating.
Yo también. I also.
So, you know, we see that. That's the
Pearl
first,
won't look
the
at
first
me.
Situation. You
she
know,
won't.
And the Son of Man.
No eye contact.
The Son of Man.
What
came,
did he do?
What he it says in the Bible that he came eating and drinking and feasting.
Yeah.
You know, and so he everything he said that was important to say, often not everything, but a lot of the important things he had to say was around a meal. You know, and he fed people while he told them things that were important. Like you said, food is meditation. Food is so much more than just fueling the body; it feeds the soul, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like. This subject is so grand.
I know, and we're coming
so
to the balance
because
there's two sides of it all,
yes,
right?
Yes, and we could talk about appetite in every way. Appetite, sexual appetite, every form of appetite, it's intrinsically put in there by God, and it's beautiful and it's good, and God calls it good. But the thief, you know, the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And everything that we long for that is good, now people are like, no, stare there and think about the queen. You know what I mean? It's dirty. It's ugly. No, it's not. But the enemy has tried to make it so, has sabotaged it with sin so that we think desire is wrong. But no, it's not. Desire is holy and it's a good thing. So let's just bring it back to food though for right now, just because we've got to keep on one kind of a track. But we've got to be careful because some people have food noise.
And addictions.
And addictions.
Yeah. Well, I'm addicted to food too.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have to eat. When you say you're addicted to food, really, that's kind of wrong. Because actually every human is addicted to food because you die without food and you have to have another meal at some point.
Yes.
So we're all addicted to food. It's beyond that.
And we get a craving and then we eat, right? We get a thirst.
Yeah.
You know, we could say we're addicted to water because we get a thirst and we have to scratch that itch.
Right. But I feel like there's two different things, okay? There's what we want to try to talk about today is the healthy appetite that should be celebrated, not demeaned. But then there's two different ones. Sometimes the appetite can be distorted by sugar and by these processed foods that actually twist things.
Right.
And they cause different neurotransmitters to go on and they cause a kind of a warp.
Well, the Bible says that God wants to give us the desires of our heart, right? But I think those are the things that are sired of him, the desires that come from him. You know, and the food that he created, I believe that's what we're naturally meant to in a perfect world have the desire for. But, you know, we've started to eat away. Society is starting to eat in a way where it's not what he created for us. So we're starting to desire foods with a warp now, right?
Yeah.
And so sugar has warped our desire. And
well, not yours, but as mankind, you're talking
about. Mankind. And so people can get food noise because their whole leptin and ghrelin and hormonal signals are all off. And they're starting to never be able to get satisfied because then their body doesn't receive proper nutrition and their body cannot really turn off the noises.
You know, getting off sugar is huge to reset those normal instincts for foods of the earth, as you talk about, Danny.
Earth food.
You know, once you get all of that out of your system, you can start tasting earth food for the first time again properly and then learning to crave it. But I do think that we have to also talk about a situation where kind of we're all learning about where there's such food noise inside the head that something's broken.
Right.
And that there's no shame in fixing that with like a peptide therapy, like one of the new medications, a weight loss therapy, you know, a semaglutide or a tirzepatide, these new things that are coming out that reset things so that you can have once again a normal appetite, almost even the playing field.
Right.
Because, you know, Jessica, who works for us, she won't mind me saying this, you know, she'd always had this food noise where it wasn't just wanting the next meal, but
well, we're not wanting. Like after I finish lunch, I'm oftentimes thinking, okay, what will I have for dinner? And yeah. I think about the plan of it, you know, because you think ahead with food. And I don't think that's wrong, but hers was a different level, right, Pearl?
Yeah, it was really different. She had anxiety about finishing that meal because it was like, well, the next has to, you know, am I going to be hungry for the next and when can I have it? And there was that
You mean she would
anxiety.
Like try to eat because she wasn't sure when she was going to eat again? Or
well, it was just like anxiety that this is going to be over soon and when was my next
was
meal going to be?
It was constantly in the back of her head, almost like, you know how noise is beautiful and we love to play music and put on a song from time to time and it's enjoyable, but can you imagine if you could never turn the radio off?
I can.
You know, noises are... Like hearing the birds sing, it's gorgeous, but people with tinnitus who constantly have like chirping in their ears.
I wake up with a Barbie song in my head.
But she said, what did she said to me, I love having an appetite again. But what she meant was not a constant appetite.
The right kind
of
appetite.
Just an appetite, a regular appetite. Right. She said, I can enjoy my meal so much because I don't have this super worry at the back of my mind when I'll be eating again. I can just enjoy the meal for the meal. And I just...
And get satisfied.
Yeah. And I get satisfied.
Well, that's where food is meditation.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not enjoying... I mean, people typically, I think, enjoy like... the taste of food, I mean, especially if it's less than earth food, you know, I mean, it's addictively enjoyable to eat the wrong stuff. There's not for you, but for people who are in a habit of eating poorly, when I was Mr.
Well,
Mac
it becomes
cheese,
almost like an opiate.
It's an opiate.
Yeah.
I mean, I would make mac and cheese so excited. I would take the powder and just tap.
Don't mind me. I have to text my son. You guys keep going.
Okay. Yeah, cool. So the... Food is meditation. Like when I'm in anxiety mode, my appetite shuts down.
Yeah.
Because I'm so focused on surviving. And so what's such a paradox is that you survive by eating food.
Yeah.
It's literally survival. Like, but when you're worried and anxious, you start to get into fight or flight, which shuts down digestion. And you are now blocking the nutrients that would make you sane, the nutrients that would make you stable. And especially when you're eating earth food, those nutrients mean that next time you're hungry, you're just hungry. You're not manic.
Right.
You're not neurotic. You're not emotional. You're not, everyone get out of the kitchen. You know, you are in control when you have nutrients. And I've started thinking, since I've started eating right, it made me wonder how perhaps all those years of problems in the stomach and anxiety could be a lack of like green vital nutrients and leucine, you know, and protein. And so all of these disorders and problems like in our country could be malnourishment as it's really
huge. And let's say it, lack of a certain kind of appetite. So it's not the appetite that's wrong, it's just the path it took, right? And so I feel like we have to clarify that, because so many people these days, they feel like, and you know, we've run into it with so many women, they feel ashamed of wanting to put food on their plate. They feel ashamed for their hunger.
They want to eat again.
Right. There's shame in that. And we're trying to say no. There's nothing wrong with appetite. There's nothing wrong with celebrating food. There's nothing wrong with eating when you're happy.
Mm-hmm. And eating volumes like Pearl loves to do.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's just the thing that's wrong is just when we've eaten the wrong thing and now our appetite has become for the wrong thing.
Yeah,
it's
almost
sired by the wrong thing.
It's almost like food guilt. It's like, on one hand, you're sort of right to have negative emotions attached to an overindulgence of ice cream or something that's not good for you.
Right.
You know, no shame ever, by the way. But I'm talking about there is something inside of us that is like, I am
hurting
doing
myself.
Too much. I'm hurting myself. But what that creates is when you are making sane choices too, you still got that old habit of having shame surrounding food because you've done it wrong so long. It's sort of like...
It passes over.
Yeah, it's almost like if you've lived an immoral, reprobate, reckless life and then you clean up your act.
Yeah.
You know, you're still guilty when you walk into a restaurant because there's a bar in it. Yeah. When it's fine to walk into a restaurant when there's a bar in it. Well, you used to trash those bars back in the day.
Right. You
know,
so true.
I know this is so unrelatable at this point.
No, no, I was actually getting it. I love a good analogy.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, I was thinking sometimes you see all the people on Insta or whatever and the macros people, and they're all got their, you know, their kind of fuels. They pre-do all their fuels, and they've got their week
of scale on there.
Yeah, they've weighed out their protein portion, they've got their scale, and it can seem to people like, well, they just never get hungry. They're just perfectly even, and then they eat their fuel. They don't necessarily need it. They eat it because they're in so control, and they go to their next fueling. But I don't think that's the way we are as humans. I think even when we're eating earth foods, we still get to that point where we hunger for that next meal, and it's important. I mean, some people aren't as hungry as others, but I get hungry for my next meal, and I desire it, and I think it's really good.
Have you seen a newborn baby desire their meal?
Yeah.
There's some wah-wah going on sometimes, and that's okay. We don't spank them for that.
No.
You know, we feed them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're giving them the proper
nourishment.
I think we
have to take the shame away from appetite.
Right.
You know, that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and we could take that further, too, further from food. You know, the whole prosperity, ugly thing mm-hmm. that swept across the church, you know, let's believe for a red Ferrari and mm-hmm. let's believe for our pink Mary Kay Corvette or whatever. I don't know.
Pink Mary Kay Corvette.
I don't know. I'm just making it up. But you know what I mean? So people have now got a bad taste in their mouth, and they're like, you know, any desire, like Danny had for a pool. He just had a simple desire to get a pool one day.
For his kids.
Yeah. And so that's not awful. Like, we're meant to have dreams. We're meant to have desires. We're meant to have things in our life that make us want to get up in the morning. Of course, you know, for me as a believer, you know, I get up in the morning with this excitement because, you know, God has given me another day. And that love for him, it, you know, that's what kind of anchors my day. But he's given me hobbies and passions and desires. And I feel like when we kind of like cut off desire and passion in every area out of our life, life is not life anymore. It's not the abundant life. You know, the Bible says that he has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And I think that life is filled with celebration and joy. And, you know, you read the Bible and it's like there was for any excuse to do another celebration.
Well, I think it's all parameters, right? God put desire, but always within the confines of protection. Mm-hmm. And so like, okay, so a sexual desire. He's like, okay, that's so good. Great. I designed you with it. Here's how it works. Put yourself in a marriage.
That's right.
Protect yourself. And then it's fantastic. Well, the desire for food is similar.
Yeah.
Okay, I've given you a desire for food. Appetite's fantastic. But here's the foods. And he laid them out in Deuteronomy that are good to eat, right?
Yeah.
All the food groups, they're good to eat. But you go out of there and start twisting food into fandangle chemicals.
Yeah.
It's no longer safe for you. It's no longer safe for your body.
That's right.
I mean, you get a taste of it, you're going to desire it. When I think about Doritos right now. I mean, yummy.
Yeah.
Yummy, because the chemicals go to places in my head that make
look
my
brain. Look at Serena
all
high in my
yeah,
can't
she's
even
like,
relate.
She's like, I don't
I
know what you're talking about.
I can't even relate.
I don't know what you're talking about. But if I think about even
with her accent.
Even sugar milk makes chocolate, I know what that tastes like. There are parts in
but
my
you
brain.
See, to the point, I haven't really had Doritos.
Right. Okay.
So I don't really.
You're not injured by
get,
Doritos.
You don't have a Doritos
desire.
Injury.
Yeah.
Okay. But most of us have had some sort of injury. With food. And all I'm saying is that when we allow ourselves to live in that non-protection of healthful foods, that desire hurts us. If we kind of, I'm not saying you can never eat a Dorito for goodness sake, but when we live in a world of where we allow our desire to be fulfilled whenever we want it with Doritos, and I'm just using that, it might be something else for you, it might be Dunkin' Donuts, whatever it is. That desire is no longer healthful because it's not protective for you.
No, yeah. It's never the big bad, you know. You know, Doritos, Dunkin' Donuts, everybody's like, not me. No, no, no. We're talking about those little Mexican wedding cookies from Whole Foods.
That's your thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about real temptation, you know, things that like have an appearance, and they are fine until you eat two full bags. I mean,
naturally sweetened with cane sugar.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about food and sex when we come back, but now a word from ourselves.
Trim Healthy Mama. Product news and notes.
Pearl, we're going to talk here about our Perfect pH shampoo and conditioner because there's nothing like them on the market.
I know. And that kind of sounds like we're really being salesy. Like, but there's a reason we brought these. It wasn't just so we could have a shampoo and conditioner too. No. And the name says it all. Perfect pH shampoo and conditioner. Serene, we had a huge need in our lives. Now, let me talk about you, right?
I'm scared.
You were such a purist about your hair. How many years did you only use an egg yolk to shampoo your hair?
About 7. And then you smell a little eggy, right? So then you have to like rinse with apple cider vinegar, but then you smell a little vinegary.
Yeah.
And so you're always smelling like a salad.
But why? I want to get to the bottom of that. Now, most of us, like I would go try to find kind of healthy shampoos and conditioners, because even though I'm not as a puristy as you, I knew from my reading and knowledge, the chems, the artificial chemicals in those, not only do they go into your scalp, Serene, they slide down your body, right?
Oh, I know. And they make
your shampooing.
Yeah,
conditioning. And they enter your cells.
Oh,
our skin is our biggest absorbing organ.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And so for that reason, and for the fact that I really wanted to stop using egg yolk to wash my hair, we designed with our scientists an incredible shampoo and conditioner. You say, hey, I've heard about pH-friendly shampoo and conditioners before. Yes, of course. We've all heard about them, but they're not pH controlled. So at the time of making, they may have a certain pH, but they are not controlled. That pH is going to change. By the time you open that up and start using it in your hair and lasting a week or two in the shower, that thing is not the right pH for your hair. And so we have designed the shampoo and conditioner so that it always has the perfect
remains.
pH.
And that's why, Serene, like we are getting so many testimonies in right now because of that pH.
Yeah.
Not only that, but, you know, the beautiful plant botanicals in there and the absolutely toxin-freeness of it. But so many women are saying, hey, I am no longer having flaking. I am no longer having dermatitis of my hair. I finally have volume. All of these things.
You know why? Because it's not just treating the hair. It's treating the scalp.
Yes.
It's like medicine for the scalp and shampoo for the hair. It's beautiful. And let's talk a little bit about the conditioner. You know, a lot of people, they feel like, oh, yeah, I use conditioner. My conditioner makes my hair feel smooth, but it's a fake smoothness. Mm-hmm. And the inside of the hair shaft is actually screaming for moisture even more. It's a lot of the cones.
Yeah.
You know,
and it gets
the silicones.
Coated.
Yes.
Yes, but it's not actually conditioned.
No.
And so, you know, when we decided to do the shampoo and conditioner thing, because it's been a lot of work, especially getting them bottled, oh my goodness. But it's so worth it because there is actually nothing like
right.
This is world groundbreaking here. Let me tell you about the nose. What do we not have in
it? No parabens, that's for sure.
No phthalates, no dyes, no sulfates, no artificials, no con. There's no con in this conditioner, right?
Yeah.
No sham in this shampoo.
That's right.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah. And the other thing I love about this shampoo and this conditioner is, you know, if you're the type that wants to wash daily,
yeah,
you can wash daily. You know you're not actually doing something very harsh to your hair.
Tip though, when you wash, when I do it, I just use a small amount at first. I've got kind of long hair. I do two shampoos.
Oh, I always do two shampoos because this is natural, natural, mm-hmm. natural. I find if you have oily hair or if it's been quite a few days since you've washed your hair, you do the two-step process. Mm. You do the first, like Pearl said, we use a little bit and you lather up with a lot of water. And then you'll find that the second wash with just a little, you're using the same amount of shampoo, you're just breaking it up into two washes. The second shampoo will get really way more lathery.
But if you've only used like, you know, toxified, I'll call them toxified, it's kind of like artificial chemicals in shampoos and conditioners, which the majority on the market are, sadly, they lather more. I do feel like for a natural kind of shampoo and conditioner, ours does well. But it's obviously not the same as one with chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to kind of go in there knowing that and not expect this huge bubbly lather that sits 3 feet off your head.
Right. But in that second wash, you get a pretty good lather. Hey, Pearl, I know you talked about all the nose, but we have to talk about this. We don't have preservatives, but what do we have? Our natural preservatives, which are a proprietary blend of botanical extracts, they're from comfrey, they're from beets, they're from chamomile. I mean, we have not skipped any step to make this as natural as possible.
But I think we need to end with the fragrance. And if you want the hint of pink grapefruit lingering or in your shower as you do it, I mean, I just love it, Serene. I'm addicted to pink grapefruit now on my hair.
Spa-like experience.
I can't go back.
Very refreshing for sure, mates. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Okay, here we're back. Now,
actually,
I'm not
this should be called the Food and Sex Party.
Yeah.
Food
so and sex. So we're back. Well, I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about, food and sex. I don't know. I was talking about food. We did discuss it a little bit. But
I was saying desire for sex is fantastic.
Oh, we talked about
it. Fantastic. Put them in the right protective situations.
I love it. And I was talking about it earlier too. But yeah. I think we've done with that. Unless Danny has any more to add about that particular part.
What, food and sex?
Yeah. No, sex. Because always. I've already done the food and then no, I was going to talk about...
I could go for hours.
You've got more on the sex
part? In the conversation.
Oh, okay. I just think that it's wonderfully...
Stop laughing.
Instinctual. Like, it's put in our hearts by God. And I think it's something that we should also contend for too. Mm. Like, because, you know, people, as they age too, sometimes that passion can kind of fall out with the hormones fall out.
And just like, you just know, like when appetite. You don't have an appetite, something's not quite right here. When you don't have the sexual appetite.
What do they do for old people when they stop eating?
Send
they
them
up
skydiving.
Their calories, no. Right? They start making sure, or the doctors start making sure they like got double insure. You know what I mean? With like double the calories. Okay, we're not into that, right? We'd rather like give them something else. But when the elderly start getting frail and don't want to have an appetite, you know, they get special nutritionists that go by their little house or door or wherever they are being like looked after, and they get extra calories. And we start to worry about their calories.
They're
and their
trying
food
to
intake.
Ramp their appetite.
And I think that's the same thing too. I mean, but this is so weird, eh?
Okay, so what?
Like just going on about this, but I just feel like you should contend for the natural passions in life, because I think that's a sign of health.
Oh, it is. So. I mean, and so when testosterone goes down, you know, oftentimes there will be lower sexual appetite. Not always. In some cases it stays. But in women, when our estrogen and testosterone goes down, I mean, the sexual inclination goes. It's just, it happens. And you can still love your husband. You can still enjoy one another. But the desire for it goes away. So I'm all about amending that soil and putting it back in.
Right. Desire for a healthy sex and desire for healthy food shows the health of the body.
It does. And so if you're declining in one of them, we have to amend that soil. We have to put in some things to ignite that again.
Right.
I mean, you know, for me, it was bioidentical hormones and, of course, a good diet. As I've grown muscle on my body, I have experienced a healthy appetite. I can eat more.
Not only was it that though, Pearl, but it was also knowing that desire is not bad and nurturing that desire and nesting that desire because that's what we're allowed to do with good desires.
Yeah.
You know, when desires are sired by the Father, when they are of the Father, when they are good, then I think your thought life can nurture those and then those desires grow. Like if you think about that nice Thanksgiving meal that you're going to have, you get hungrier for it, right? And you're ready for it. And I think people need to do that with other good,
well,
healthy
desires. Well, be specific.
Desires.
You're saying you need to do that in your relationship.
Yes, with your relationships. You start thinking nice thoughts about those people. You don't look at the list of wrongs, you know, and you don't start looking at the shirt that you hate and the, you know, just... You don't start looking at all the things that they've done wrong and the trash they haven't taken out.
But I know what you're saying. You didn't go there thinking about that Thanksgiving meal you were also wanting to say, but you didn't. Thinking about that time with your husband.
Exactly. But the son is right here staring at me. So I'm on my best behavior.
There's Arden.
No, but that's good. No, I totally agree. Because I think of people, it's a lost art too of thinking they... People think, oh, this is not necessarily something I need to be concentrating on. I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it is. But, you know, I think also too, you know, I think all desire shows that you are a healthy person. I feel like when people are sick, their dreams go downhill too. Mm-hmm. You know, any dreams that people have. And I just think when we are to be people that bring fruit, bring success, bring about, you know, whatever it is in life that we're here and we've been put on this planet for, we have to have an appetite and a desire to pull it off.
So what about otherwise people that actually have low appetites? Like Danny, he says when he feels anxiety, he loses his appetite. Other people
are
the opposite.
People lose their dreams when they're anxious too, because the fear sabotages and paralyzes
them. It's the opposite too. Some people then eat things they know that's not good for them when they feel anxious, but then, like you say, Danny, they don't digest it anyway because they're anxious.
Right.
And so there's two things. There's two extremes sometimes with anxiety or depression, to either not eat and to stop all that, or to eat the wrong things and to do a bunch of over comfort, because food is comfort and that's natural. But when it is, it's almost making the problem worse. You know, it's eating things that you know are actually going to hurt you, but it's too bad I need them. So, and I know many people right now are listening to this. What have you done? You're the I'm not going to eat person, but you're saying that you've been able to help that with Earth Foods, right?
Yeah, Earth Foods, you know, in balance. So I'm always like, I just love mantras. Like, where's my protein? That's I got that one from the gals. So I literally, without even trying, every single meal, there's a voice in my head that says, where's my protein? It's just this voice.
Yay.
And it's just there. Where's my protein?
Love that.
Yeah. And it's so helpful. And then after that, you know, you're, I've really, this sort of maybe it's not off topic, it's food. I've really gotten into beans and rice lately. You know, beans
so
and rice
you.
Is like, oh, if you're, you
so
need to pay
Valdez.
Off debt, then go get your beans and rice. It's like, no, if you want to thrive in life, go get your beans and rice. It's the
and
perfect.
Look at your background to what you're saying, beans and
Behold.
Rice.
Behold. Yeah. With my, talking about my beans and rice.
Yeah.
That was a Mexican joke. Yeah. No, I got it late, but I got
it. Yeah,
you
did get it late.
Yeah. So what was your question?
I was saying, what do you do? I mean, the instinct, because if you feel anxious, is to not eat. But you have kind of taken yourself out of there by doing things like you say, hey, where's my protein? I actually can eat. I can regulate this appetite. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
What's been really helpful for me is to think of food as meditation. Because when I have to go eat, I have to stop the work. I have to stop the toil. I have to stop the overthinking and trying to pull it off in life, whatever that is. And I have to prepare food, right? And so the act of that forces you out of, for me, the he who can be prone to anxiety. It forces me to, like, look at the birds, you know?
And could that give you, I'm just thinking about this too, because it's really become it's becoming the medicine itself. Okay, you don't have an appetite, but then you're like, oh, I've got some anxious thoughts. I shall go prepare my meal and kind of meditate. But the act of preparing itself can stimulate hunger. The
yeah,
act
it
of
can,
preparing
it
food.
Can. And especially when you finally make that decision, you are not working right now.
Yeah.
You are making the food.
Right.
Okay. Now you're done. You're stuck. You're trapped. You can't get back to your worrying and trying to be anxious and getting your things done until you've eaten, because you already walked down the steps. In my case, you know, I got to walk down steps and get to a kitchen. And so, that act in and of itself can sort of like just shift you into that place. And so while you're there, don't suffer. You might as well eat your carrots and your veggies and your protein and do it right. You've done the work to get there.
And you know, it's the fix for the other side too, because the other side is to quick eat comfort food. Where's my bowl of ice cream? You know, where's my sugar?
Right.
But if you go and do that meditation of preparing your protein, preparing your veggies, it's the same jolly thing, right? You will start stimulating a hunger for these things, these earth foods. That is the medicine.
Yeah,
I agree, and it's not the slaying of appetite that's actually going to bring success to people. It's actually just directing that appetite, because it's going to be appetite that's going to be your healer.
Yeah,
it's going to be appetite focused in the right direction that's going to bring healing. I don't know, Pearl, how many times have we seen people stuck with their weight loss goals in plateaus, and we're like, well, let's see, do you eat breakfast? It's usually the ones who eat the least, the ones that stay hungry all the time, the ones that are ashamed of an appetite, that are the ones struggling to drop the pounds.
And I do want to say too, and it can be abused, you know, like sometimes if people have food noise, you know, constantly, and then they finally get on one of these therapies, the GLP-1 medications, and they're like, no, food noise. Oh, my goodness. But it can be abused to the point where they're so almost PTSD about food noise, that they never want to hear it again, and they're too scared to let a healthy appetite in. So they go too high on these medications because, like, I'm scared of an appetite. It did me in. Appetite was wrong for me. But
it was just the
using
appetite.
These medications, I feel like you still have to get to that place where you allow a healthy appetite in. You don't go so high so fast that you never feel that just, instinct for food.
That's
and,
right.
And I know people are fearful of it when they've been kind of they've had the food noise and it feels too much and all they ever thought about was food. But
and that's what we're here to clarify today. It was never the appetite that was the problem. Mm-hmm. It never was. It was just the wrong kind of appetite. Mm-hmm. And that wrong kind of appetite is for those foods that actually mess with the signals. Yeah. And that's what brings those broken food noise loops.
It can.
But it was never the appetite.
But I had a friend and she had this food noise and she said, Pearl, yes, I did used to eat unhealthily. But even as a trim healthy mama, my food noise was good food even. Even healthy food, I would want to overeat it because
but there was something broken
there. It was broken. Right. Yes.
Right. But it was not appetite in itself.
Yeah, but she was fearful of any appetite. Mm-hmm. I said, let yourself have some. Don't go so high on that medication that you feel nothing and that you just want to fast and food is gross to you. Find that sweet spot where you still feel some appetite because that is essential to the human situation. Yes. That's what we're trying to say
That's
here.
That's right.
Appetite is to be celebrated.
If you were alive, then you need appetite.
Yeah.
In every area.
And not eating.
Every area.
Not eating at all is a symptom of anxiety and stress, but eating wrong is also a symptom of anxiety and stress because one of the biggest excuses is I've got all these kids and I have no time. Therefore I must just take what's in front of me and not judge myself. That's absolute anxiety. That's what anxiety looks like in practice, to not eat right because, you know, you've got all the kids and all the things. It's just a lie. You absolutely like oatmeal. Yeah. Oatmeal with protein powder.
Like Danny says, pound oatmeal, pound it.
Pound your dang oatmeal.
I know, but isn't it funny when you kind of get you get off of those chemical foods, your desire gets so simple and gets so excited about simple, wonderful foods.
You get sane. The biggest thing is you get sane.
It's like you desire oatmeal.
Yeah, and everything, you start to like, you actually get smarter.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not frauding yourself with these excuses anymore. You're too smart to believe your own BS.
It's so true.
About how you don't have time to eat right.
Yeah, right.
Like that, I'm speaking just for me personally, that's been the biggest lie surrounding food is that I don't have time to do it. I'm working, I'm busy.
Right.
And if somebody doesn't make it for me or I don't order it or I don't go through a drive-thru, I'm not going to make it in life. It's like, have faith, man.
And you pound your oatmeal, I mean, you put it in hot water and you put your toppings on, that's 2 minutes.
If that. I actually did. I don't know why it took me till the age of like 40 before I timed actually leaving my house. I'm almost next door to like all the drive-thrus you want, where I would go through a drive-thru and try to get the healthiest thing I could or make 2 fried eggs over toast.
Right.
Do you know?
It's way longer to go to the drive-thru.
What sounds the most complicated is the most simple. So I just came back from Scotland and it kind of brought me back to my roots. You know, in New Zealand, we grew up on poached eggs.
And we're Scottish. We're Campbells, so we're Scottish.
So we went back to Scotland, my husband and I, and it was only poached eggs on the menu. You know, an omelette? That's not even heard of. They didn't even know how to make an omelette, but poached eggs. So when I came back here, I was like, oh, I've got to just keep on with these poached eggs. Well, I thought to myself, well, this is going to take so long in my morning, poached eggs. You know, scrambled eggs were so quick.
Yeah.
But I love the poached eggs. We can get the center's just so perfect, you know, when you open it
up. So what is your technique? And then we'll finish.
Well, it's just so quick. I mean, there's the poached egg breakfast, which sounds so complicated, is the quickest of all. I just like have my little pot on the stove with the water ready to go. Like
it's boiling.
Before I go to bed, my little pot sits out there on the stove.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to bend down and pick up the pot. My vinegar, as I put a dash of white vinegar in there, is just left right near the stove. No child is allowed to put it away. So it's so simple. So I just lift the lid, plop a little vinegar in there, turn on the stove. I walk away, make my husband's coffee. I just do life. And then when I see it boil, I just drop 3 eggs and I put the lid on, turn it off.
And then when my toast is done, the eggs are done. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's like I don't have to watch the stove and flip the eggs and scramble it up. That's time.
Yeah, no, I do. I had poached eggs this morning, but I do the same thing. But I don't put the vinegar in. Leslie Popsy taught us to do the vinegar, but I find it works just fine without it. But you said you like the smell.
You just crack an egg into boiling water?
I did miss one step. If I want them to stay perfectly together, I keep a slotted spoon too I'll prepare that the night before. Just leave the slotted spoon there. And I'll just quickly stir that water to a vortex.
So when I drop them in,
it all stays together.
You don't have to. I put it on boil, drop my eggs in, put the lid on, turn it. Actually, I take it off to put the eggs on the heat, turn it all off, put it back on with the lid on. 5 minutes, they're done.
It's 5 minutes. So it's perfection.
I've never made a poached
egg. I had it over quinoa this morning. I was out of my good, healthy bread. Yeah. Because I just live on good service now.
I had it on quinoa.
And then you open up that poached eggs and a little bit of the goo falls out.
Yeah, so good.
Do you still eat Ezekiel bread?
I have it in my house. It's good bread, but I prefer sourdough bread. I buy Bavarian sourdough bread off Amazon. Hey, it's full rye, 100% rye. We got to go. We're done. We're 49
minutes.
Peace
out then.
Hey, go eat something. Go have an appetite.
I'm hungry right now.
Nothing, Mama, my way, and then I'll be.